2 Thessalonians 2:3 says this, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from this subject, the man of lawlessness. Father, I thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be accurate in teaching your word, what I believe you've laid on my heart. Give us open ears and hearts to receive it. And God, we do it all for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the last 2 weeks I've taught sermons that have been kind of aligned with what's going on currently in our social fabric. And as I said, I've never wanted to preach those kinds of sermons. Political, social, current events. But it's just gotten to the point that I felt like I can't deny it. I'd rather just preach sermons from the Word of God, let people take from them what they believe applies to their life, and put it into action. And unfortunately, the way things have been going, I've just not been able to do that. And I thought I was telling myself, it's like, okay, I've hit them 2 weeks hard with the whole social, political sermon teaching. I want a real positive, good message this week. As I'm praying about it, I get something. We're going to be in the same vein, folks. So I felt like it's from the Lord. I felt like when I was praying, I got the phrase came to me as the man of lawlessness. And I immediately knew what it was, what the point God was saying to me was, and what I wanted and needed to talk about. So we're going to talk about the man of lawlessness. Over the last 3 months, I've had quite a few people ask me about what's going on, all the craziness in our country today, and how it ties into, are we looking at end time events? You know, are we approaching that time in what we've talked about before? It's called by various name, Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation, you know, these different terms. The final 7-year period that the Bible talks about. And are we looking at that? Are we approaching that? Are we in it? And so I felt like it was something I should address, and certainly this idea of the man of lawlessness ties into it. So you look at what's going on, I think about this idea of the man of lawlessness. And look around us, and it makes perfect sense. We got people who are calling to defund the police. In other words, that would be out without law. But to call to defund the police, attacks, physically attacking the police. You know, anyone who was unwilling to quote their Marxist Black Lives Matter talking points, if you're unwilling to say, then you're attacked. Tearing down statues, not just Civil War statues. They want to tear down Lincoln statues, George Washington, Jesus, and Mary. I mean, you know, because somehow they think they're white or something. I don't know how all that. But this is the thing. It's lawlessness. They're arresting law-abiding citizens for protecting their own property within the definition of law, and they're being arrested. Of course, the whole kneeling of the national anthem, destroying flags, people being beaten up if you have a MAGA hat on or a pro-American T-shirt or something. I mean, all these different things. And even a couple weeks ago, it got to the point of where they were burning Bibles. All of this ties perfectly with this idea of lawlessness. And so the man of lawlessness ties into that final 7-year period, those end time events. So it makes sense when you see lawlessness going on in our society. Does this tie in with this final 7 years in the man of lawlessness? Last week, I mentioned about how going through all these different things that the Smithsonian said were negative traits of our culture, and one of them was the scientific reasoning, and I mentioned how science basically was invented by Christians because they understood that the world could be studied, it could be quantified, it was not going to change, it was consistent because God had designed it, it worked in a certain manner. That's why, all animals produce after their own kind, and we know how all that's going to work. We can study this, we can catalog it, we can quantify it, we can mathematically explain it because it's not going to change. And I said, we don't have to worry about 2 + 2 is not going to ever equal 11. Do you know what one of the big issues on Twitter was this week? 2 + 2 = 5. It's like I can stand up here and say the craziest thing that I can think of and give it a couple weeks and it'll be happening. Because their point was, these are just arbitrary things that we've assigned, you know, to this math. 2 + 2, we say it equals 4. Well, that's just arbitrary. 2 + 2 = 5. This is 1984, George Orwell. If you remember the story, the state says 2 + 2 = 5, or 2 + 2 = whatever the state says that it does. And that's what you're supposed to fall into. But here, Judy had a great one. I had a better one that would like cause politicians' deaths, but Judy actually came up with a better illustration than mine. She said, to make that illustration, tell somebody you're going to give them $2,000, and then you're going to give them another $2,000. Then after they've done that, they give you back 5, and it will be the same amount. See if they go for that. I thought that was pretty good. It pretty well illustrates, we all know that 2 + 2 = 4, and it doesn't equal 5. This is how crazy that the world is becoming. So, the events that are taking place, I just want to start by saying, right up front. Now, please stay with me. Don't push back on me right away, because I know some people, you certainly read a lot of things. A lot of things online are going to say something different than what I'm going to say, but then that's not unusual. The current events that we're watching as of right now, now this may change in the very near future, but as of right now, these are not yet end time events falling within that final 7 years, okay? Now, as I said, that could change. And let me explain how I know that. Again, let's look at the 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to look at Daniel 9, 7. It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God, and is worshipped so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1/7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So there are several things that have to happen for us to know from these passages that we're in that final 7-year period. One, it says the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed. Well, as of yet, we don't know who the man of lawlessness is. He has not been revealed. But we're going to deal more with that as we move forward. He says he's going to set himself up in the temple to be worshipped as God. Well, there's several things, and then there's going to be sacrifices, because he's going to have a covenant, he's going to put an end to the covenant, he's going to put an end to the sacrifices that are, you know, on the wing of the temple, he's going to set the abomination that causes desolation, all this. So there's certain things that have to happen. One, there's no temple. The Jewish temple does not exist. The Jews do not possess the land to build the temple on. Currently, it is occupied by the Muslims, and the Dome of the Rock is what's built there. So they would have to repossess that land, and they would have to build a temple. There is no priesthood. There are no sacrifices. None of that is happening. None of those things that are going to be that are described here currently are happening. They don't have the land. They don't have the temple. There's no priesthood. There's no sacrifices. Therefore, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, cannot set himself up in the temple that does not exist on the land they do not possess and put an end to the priesthood and the sacrifices that are not currently taking place. Now, can all that change very rapidly? Yes. We're going to talk more about this covenant thing too. So, I want to make that clear. We're not in the final 7 years, period. But as far as we may enter it 2 weeks from now, okay? Last week, 2 + 2 didn't equal 11, but this week on Twitter, it did. So who knows? So what do I want to accomplish here today? While what is taking place is not these final 7 years, it's not Daniel's 70th week, it is indicative of what that time will be like. And that's what I really want to focus on today. It's not that time, but I think it's going to be a lot like this, okay? And it may lead to it, although I don't believe that the U.S. is is primary. Even though we see all these things going on in the United States, I don't believe that we see in Scripture that the U.S. is primary in end time events. I will say, though, I am changing my opinion on the role, how large of a role the U.S. may play in these end time events. I'm beginning to get a suspicion that the U.S. is going to play more of a role than I used to think, because I don't know if anyone is more crazy than we are right now. So, the first thing I want to look at, again, 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 7. What we need to understand about the man of lawlessness and why I believe these events that are taking place are not the final 7 years, but they are indicative. By the way, I'm not going to say this is going to be a good sermon on my part of delivering it, but this is a really important sermon, all right? This is a really important teaching, and if you're a note taker, you might want to take notes. The Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, it's the same person. And the Antichrist is not Satan. The Antichrist is a man that is going to be used by Satan. Well, let me read this first. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 7. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, him being the Antichrist, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. So the man of lawlessness, this power of lawlessness, he has not yet been revealed, but it's already at work, all right? And there's a reason why this lawlessness is already at work. In fact, Paul says to the Thessalonians, I believe the he is actually Michael, the archangel. A lot of people believe it's Holy Spirit, but that's another discussion. Anyways, that he is currently being held back. His power is being held back, okay? But he is present. So my point in all this is, why I believe this is indicative of end time events is because this Antichrist is, there's always an Antichrist present in the world. There's always been an Antichrist, someone that Satan has designated, that's my man. Could be, that's my woman, okay? Don't want to be politically incorrect. That's the person that I am going to use as the Antichrist. Why does Satan always have to have somebody designated and ready to go? Because no one knows the hour of Christ's return, not even Jesus himself. He said, even I don't know. So if he doesn't know, Satan doesn't know. So Satan always has to be ready to go. When the time comes, when it happens, he has to already know, have someone in place who can fulfill this role. In fact, Paul says, yeah, he's not yet been revealed, but he's here, he's present, he's actually just being held back. His power, what he would do, is being restrained. But he does exist, all right? The power... He said, what did I read? The power of lawlessness is already at work. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Even though we don't know who the person is, this power of lawlessness is already present. We don't know, but Satan has someone designated. He does all the time. And it's already at work. This power of lawlessness is at work like I've never seen it before. Now, you know, I'm not an old man, you know, and there are people here that are, got a few years on me, but in 60 years, I've never seen anything like this. You know, they say there's nothing new under the sun, and I'm sure that's true because it's in the Bible, but I've never seen anything like a time that we're seeing right now. He is executing his plan. It makes sense that if an Antichrist is already here, then Satan is looking for the opportunity to execute his plan. And that's why I say what I believe, what we're seeing, is indicative. It is more and more moving to a time of lawlessness. I see more and more pictures in these riots. It used to just be people out there just shouting and hollering and breaking windows and stealing stuff. People are now showing up with guns. I'm seeing more and more pictures and videos of people at these protests and actual shootings taking place. There has been rioting in Portland now for 70 nights consecutive. We're talking, you know, 2.5 months. Every night there has been a riot. It's just crazy. Now I see LA Unified Teachers Union says they're not going back to work, basically, and we want paid. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but it's just about that bad. And you just think, talk about lawlessness. I mean, just, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand where people's minds are at. So it makes sense to me that if the Antichrist is always present, he's always looking. Satan is always looking for an opportunity. And apparently, for some reason, somehow, some way, Satan sees an opportunity to begin to stir up this lawlessness in this country in a way that he never has seen the opportunity before, and he's acting on it. So to me, it's like, well, what's going on? What are we doing that makes him think this is a good time he can begin to push the push the boundaries more and more and more of lawlessness? So there's a lot of things going on. One of the things that's going to be key in that we're seeing, look up with me again at Daniel 9:27. We're being told that this lawlessness is peace. Do you ever hear I mentioned last week, the mostly peaceful protest, right? Yeah, mostly. We're being told that all this lawlessness is peace, right? Look at this. Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and the offering, and on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end of the time decreed is poured out on him. That covenant is going to be, it says he's going to decree a covenant. The Antichrist is going to set up a covenant with the Jewish people, and it's going to be a covenant of peace. It's going to be a peace covenant. What are we always wanting in the Middle East? What are they always trying to work on in the Middle East? Peace. We want a peace agreement, a peace accord, a peace covenant. Someday, somehow, some way, there's going to be someone who is the Antichrist, and he's going to be able to pull off a peace covenant with Israel. However, let me ask you this. Is it possible for a man of lawlessness to truly establish a peace covenant? How can a man of lawlessness set up and establish a peace covenant? In fact, it won't be a covenant of peace, because halfway through those 7 years, people are going to be thinking, oh, we finally got a time of peace, but what's he going to do? He's going to what? Break the covenant. Because it is not a peace covenant, and he's not a man of peace. He's going to deceive them and deceive the world to make them think that it's possible, but it's not possible. We are being deceived. We're being told that lawlessness is peace. The man of lawlessness is at some point when we get into this. In fact, setting up that covenant, when that covenant is established, that is the beginning of the final 7 years. That marks the beginning of Daniel's 70th week at the establishment of this covenant. 3.5 years into it, he's going to break the covenant. He will set himself up to be worshipped as God. He will put an end to sacrifices in the temple. All of that. It is not possible. But we are being told, all this is going, that's going on now, we're being told that America is an evil, terrible, racist, discriminatory country. And by tearing down statues and burning cities and getting rid of the cops, if we do this, we will have peace. We won't destroy your cities, and we won't kill you, and we'll have peace if you'll just agree with us and let us do what we want to do. We're being told that lawlessness is peace. And that's exactly who the man of lawlessness is, and it's how he's going to deceive people. This is all a big deception, which is exactly what the Bible tells us is going to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. This is deception. When we think and we're being told that it's peace, it's not really peace. A lot of people don't, if you watch mainstream media, you know, the big three, all right, plus CNN and MSNBC, if that's who you're watching, you don't know what's going on. They're not showing a lot of this kind of stuff because they know the American people won't go for it and they don't want people to see it. You don't know that there's been a riot, literally a riot in Portland every night for 2.5 months because they don't show it. So there is deception taking place. We're told that we give into this. We're trying to achieve utopia and everything will be wonderful and it'll be a peaceful country and everything will be right with the world. It isn't going to stop. How can the man of lawlessness ever be peaceful? It doesn't make sense. And Antichrist is going to claim peace until he breaks that covenant, that peace deal. We are not currently in the final 7 years, as I said, but an Antichrist is present and he is pushing this idea of lawlessness. So I say all this, I'm not one who says that Satan is behind every little wrong thing that goes on in the world, but when I look at all this, can there be any doubt who is behind this? This is Satan at work, by definition, bringing about lawlessness and turmoil. While I say we're not in the final seven years, I believe he thinks we could be, and he's making a play for it. I mean, I don't know how else to interpret it, because this makes no sense. What we see going on, it makes no sense. Do we realize the deception that's going on around us? There will be a great deception concerning the events that are taking place. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. Is it up there on the screen? Is it New Living Translation? All right, good. It says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. The people causing all of this destruction out there are deceived into thinking they are bringing about some wonderful utopia, okay? This wonderful world where everybody's equal and everybody's got the same thing. You know, we think of it as Marxism, socialism, you know, that it's going to be this wonderful place. They are being deceived. It says he will use every kind of deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. They're anti-God, they're anti-Christian, they're anti-church, they're burning Bibles. Sounds to me like maybe they're on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Yes. Right. The way I explain it is because they're open to it and embracing it, he's going to just cause them to go with it. He's not making them make the original decision, but because they refuse to accept and love what could save them, then because they've made that decision, then he will take those people that have made that decision and cause them to be deceived and go.
It's like how in Exodus it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right. Pharaoh's heart was already turned against the Jews, and so God used that and hardened his heart, and we see the whole thing play out through the Exodus. So, but he's, well. Well, ultimately, and the question is, are we at that point in history? Because history is not just one continuous decline ever since God created the world. Her history has been like this. Okay, spiritually speaking, up and down, up and down, up and down. There's been a slide, then there's been revival, then there's been a fall, then there's revival. So the question is, you know, is this the final dip? Yeah, I don't know. But I know this makes sense with what I see going on. People are, they're deceived. I saw a video recently where people were going into church. And there was a woman going, I think like got like three kids with her or whatever, and she's going up those steps to her church, and they're like, you know, anti-Antifa people standing right there screaming, save the children, save the children, save the children. You know, like taking them into church would be this horrific thing. It would somehow corrupt and pollute them, and we need to save them from this horrible church thing that they're about to be taken to. I mean, it's just because they fail to love and embrace what could save them. I mean, how many, they're burning Bibles. I mean, I don't know how else you could. So because of that, yes, God caused them to be deceived, and they will believe the lies, and then they will be condemned because they're for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Some of these people out there are having a good day. I'm convinced a lot of these people out there at all these riots, all this stuff that's going on, they're out there just having the time of their lives, causing mayhem and destruction and turmoil of all. I just think they just think this is the greatest thing ever. And that's what I see when I read Scripture. That's what I see taking place. They will be condemned for enjoying evil. I want to talk a little bit about the deception. Here's the thing, of course, with deception, you don't even know you're deceived. If you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Amen? And there is a great deception going on. And there's if you've never looked up, I'll throw a couple things out there. Look up something online called Project Veritas. Project Veritas is kind of an undercover group. They uncovered things and got people talking on video, and you can find them on their site. The big one was a couple years ago when I first heard of them. They got Planned Parenthood officials talking on video how they abort babies for the purpose of selling their body parts for financial gain. I heard a statistic this week that more black babies have been aborted in New York this year than have been born. So that's bad enough. But now when you have a profit motive to abort them so that you can sell their body parts, how that's not corrupt and evil and a conflict of interest, I have no idea. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, but we've aborted more black babies than have been born in New York this year. It's just crazy what's going on. It is deception. But Project Veritas has a lot. I saw one this week of where a guy was acting, and everybody always poo-poos George Soros being behind all this funding it. I saw it out of the guy's mouth stating that they had received money from George Soros. So that's a great resource to find about all this stuff, all right? Project Veritas. But another one that you should look up the work and the studies of a woman named Heather McDonald. Heather McDonald has done extensive study on crime statistics. And what we're being told, and yes, it's terrible that, you know, police are out there shooting unarmed black men for the purpose of because they want to. The statistics, nothing could be further from the truth. This is a Heather McDonald statistic I got. A 2015 Justice Department study of the Philadelphia Police Department found that black officers were 67% more likely than white officers to mistakenly shoot an unarmed black suspect. Hispanic officers were 145% more likely than white officers to mistakenly shoot an unarmed black suspect. What we're being told is a lie. It's deception. And it's all over the media. Depending on where you look, 8 or 9, a grand total, it's not 19, it's not 90, it's not 900 the way they'd make you think. 8 or 9, depending on the source you find, unarmed black men were killed by the police in 2019. 9, not 90. Okay? Like they make you think, they're just people are being hunted. Now, again, it's terrible. Here's the thing, it's so frustrating. George Floyd, wrong. What happened was wrong. And you know what? They're acting like the officers who did it are out on the job. No, what's happening is exactly what should happen in any criminal case. It's being prosecuted. What more do you want us to do? Just right there on the spot, throw a rope over the tree and hang them? I mean, maybe we execute them and then wait 10 years and we'll dig them up and we'll execute them again? I mean, what more can be done? That's what I don't understand. They're acting like nothing has been done. I hear all these things about, man, you're going to have to delete this. There is no such thing as systemic racism in this country. Was there in the past? Yes. Those of you that are my age or older, you know this. But you know that it's nothing like it used to be. At all. Systemic racism means that that word has a meaning. It means you've purposely designed a system to be racist for the purpose and intent of being racist and causing harm to a particular race. That doesn't exist. There is no purposely planned and executed system of are there racists in this country? Yes. Are there people who are ignorant on race? Yes. Are there people who are insensitive on race? Yes. Is there a system specifically designed and implemented for the purpose, like by a corporation or an organization, to be? No, it doesn't exist. It's a deception. It's a lie. This is what the man of lawlessness and his people that fall for is what's going to be going on. It's what they're going to do. And it's not that I don't care. That's just not the case. Absolutely, the people that commit these acts, like in the George Floyd incident, they absolutely should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I don't want any part of it in this country. We don't want it. It's not good. It's not right. We don't want it. But what needs to be being done is being done. FBI 2016. Who are killing black victims? Not whites and not the police. This is an FBI study. But other blacks. In 2016, the police fatally shot 233 blacks. The vast majority of them were armed and dangerous, according to the Washington Post. No conservative newspaper. The Post categorized only 16 black male victims as police shootings as unarmed. This classification masks assaults against officers and violent resistance to arrest. Contrary to the Black Lives Matter narrative, the police have much more to fear from black males than black males have to fear from police. In 2015, this is an FBI study again, the police officers were 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male to be killed by a police officer. Black males have made up 42% of all cop killings over the last decade, though they are only 6% of the population. That 18.5% ratio undoubtedly worsened in 2016 in light of a 53% increase in gun murders of officers. I want to say something else. In saying all this, this is not a black-white issue. Even as I'm saying black there, this is not a black issue. This is a political policy issue. Even as I read that, I'm uncomfortable in reading it because I don't want anybody to think this is not a black-white issue. This is political policies being put into place that is creating an environment for these things to take place. And until we're willing to deal with the truth rather than being deceived, I don't know what we do about this. I don't know how it gets fixed. I don't know how it gets changed. But it's just what the opportunity that the man of lawlessness, Satan behind it, is looking for. I guess all I can say in all this is, please be informed beyond just simply seeing the big three mainstream news media. And ask yourselves questions like, you know, if this is true, then what about this? I mean, there are logical conclusions that follow, such as the murder of George Floyd. The people are being arrested. They've been arrested. They're in prison. They're being prosecuted. What else should be done? What else could be done? Other than execute them on the spot, they act like nothing is being done about it. Do you understand my point? This is one thing that Judy and I have had some heated discussions about. It's like all the laws are on the books. They're being implemented. What more can be done? This is exactly what should happen, and it's happening. So why are we burning down cities because of it? Minneapolis has voted to defund their police force. And now, what remains, you're being told, if you get held up, be prepared to give up your phone and your wallet and make sure you have some money on you to give to them so they'll be happy and they won't maybe hurt you. That's the advice. Let me close. The mark of the beast. I've had questions about that too, because we're now hearing more and more about getting a chip, right? Getting a chip. The mark of the beast, everybody's concerned about. Revelation 13, 15 through 17 says, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the idol to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, to free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast of the number of his name. Now, on the top of everything else, we are being told that we are running out of cash. Have you heard this one? Yeah. Folks, this is one of those things where I tell you, what I was just saying about do some research or just engage your brain, get real. We are not running out of cash. They're printing it by the trillions in Washington, D.C., and how did we all of a sudden magically run short on cash when one day, the day before, we were fine? How did that happen? Does anybody ever stop and challenge these preposterous claims, statements that are made? They are literally printing money by the trillions in Washington, D.C., money that we don't have. The feds are printing, they just passed, and Trump just signed an executive order where people are going to get $400 a week. Before that, the first package that they did for relief was totaled up to like $6 trillion. Well, where did that come from? We don't have it. So where did it come from? They printed it. Should put my picture up there. Well, if they are seizing assets of criminals, then that means we have more of their money. I'm all for seizing their assets. I'm all for seizing the... Black Lives Matter has received over $1 billion. They should seize those assets to pay for the cities they're destroying. See this? Anybody remember this? Remember when it was like, you know what? The federal government does not possess enough money to buy one piece of that. They don't have it. If they had to balance their books and take the money that they have in the black and go purchase this 1% piece of bazooka bubblegum, they couldn't buy it. We run a $2 to $3 trillion deficit every year. We were around $26 trillion in debt before we printed $6 trillion to pay for the last stimulus. And now we're going to do more. So, one, we got no money, but two, we're not short of cash because we just printed. Now, about the mark of the beast and getting a chip and using this to promote the idea of everything going electronic, being a chip because we don't have, you know, any cash. In order for the chip, if the United, here's what I want you to understand. If the United States government said you have to get a chip, okay, that's going to hold all your financial information, and you're wondering if it's the mark of the beast, if it were the mark of the beast, that would mean the United States government is the beast, right? If they told you you have to get that, this, then and it is the mark of the beast, then the U.S. government is the beast. Hello? Logic follows, right? You understand what I'm saying? So, do I think you should get a chip put in your hand or whatever? I'm not saying that, okay? I don't want that. But I don't believe there's anything in Scripture that would make me think the United States government, for all the problems I got with it, I don't think they're the beast. So if you're worried about that, the United States government is not the beast. Also, in just taking the mark of the beast, it's not just taking the mark of the beast. It is being told that we basically have to surrender, bow down, and worship the beast. So it's not just dealing with finances electronically. There's something that goes along with it. It goes back to like having to, you know, worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar and all this kind of stuff, you know, the idea of surrendering to that. And so that's a part of it. It's not just the mark itself. Maybe taking the mark alone would be enough. I mean, I don't want to do that. I'm not planning on doing that in any form, but I don't believe if the U.S. government says this is the way we're going to do business, I don't believe it's the mark of the beast because I don't believe the government in the United States is the beast. When lawlessness is taking place, we know who is behind it. We know that it is ultimately Satan, and he's working through an antichrist. We don't know who that antichrist is yet, but the power behind it, the power of lawlessness, we're told, is already at work in the world. We're not in the final 7 years, but we certainly should pay attention to what's going on around us because I believe it is indicative of the kind of things that we're going to see. This is what Satan wants to do. He loves all this turmoil. He loves deceiving people. He loves all the conflict and division. It's lawlessness, and that makes me understand that the man of lawlessness and the source of that, Satan, is what's behind it. Satan is certainly being bold. For whatever reason, there's some reason that Satan feels that he can be bold enough to begin to push this lawlessness forward. And things that would have never been accepted before in this country are now being accepted. It is stunning how many people are kind of falling in line with it. Think about where we're at, even on things like gay marriage and, you know, LGBTQ, LMNOP rights. You know, I mean, Obama in his first term ran on anti-gay marriage in 2008, and look at where we're at now. Think how much things have changed, how rapidly it's changed. We are falling in line as a country, more and more people, with exactly what Satan and the man of lawlessness wants to do. We need to understand these things. We need to observe them for what they are as we move forward. And we need to do everything we can, you know, not just physically, but in prayer, in standing on truth. As Cade said last week, why is it important to teach these things? Even though, folks, I guarantee you, in church this morning in this country, this kind of message, we are in the minority. What you're hearing, what I'm standing up here and saying, we're in the minority, okay? We have to know what the Scripture says. We have to be willing to stand up for it and not compromise. Not that we don't care and love for the people that are being hurt and damaged and struggling in this world. That's not at all the case. But we don't embrace lies and deception in the name of loving others. Those things are contradictory. So I put all this out there to say we're not in the final 7 years, but it's indicative of the things that we can expect, and we need to understand that we need to be on our guard, we need to be in prayer, and it may not be as far away as I once thought, and I don't know where this is all going to end up, but I know who is behind it. When I see lawlessness going on at this level, then I know the man of lawlessness is the one who's behind it.